Stuck at home and you don't know what to do. Hold on, baby Rhonda, she's got you. Grab your computer, log on, baby, you got the power. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Hour. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Hour.
Hey, everyone. We're live. It's Rhonda Shear, and welcome to another edition of our Social Distancing Social Hour. We're into, I think, our third month right now. Anyway, it's very, very exciting. We do have a website, and it's www.rhondashearsocialhour.com. We should be broadcasting live on there next week, but look for updates on Facebook. In the meantime, I just wanted to say we've got amazing guests that I'm really excited about this evening. I won't introduce them, but I'll let you know who they are at first. So first up, we have someone I know from a very, very long time ago who you know and you grew up with and we all grew up with and loved, Don Most, who you remember as Ralph Mouth on Happy Days, but he's done so much more. We also have the fabulous Tanea Brooks, who was a model actress, now famous wrestler named Rebel, and we'll tell you more about her in a little bit. And also a dear friend of mine who has been very gracious to have me on his show, and that's Mark Simone of WOR, Mr. New York. He is amazing. He is literally on iHeartRadio WOR from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every day Eastern time. So we pre-taped him because he's going out. So have to be honest because we're live except for that. Anyway, I'm going to jump right in with my first guest. And I can't wait to speak to him and see him. And a little sneak peek of another side of Don Most and his music.
It's quarter to three. There's no one in the place except you and me. So set 'em up, Joe. I've got a little story I think you ought to know.
I feel like slow dancing.
We're drinking, my friend.
Put a hand for the other side of Don Most. I said you knew him as Ralph Mouth, but this is another side and an album called Mostly Swinging that you can get from 2017. Move over, Michael Bublé. I never knew that you sang like that. Never. I mean, I know you sang on Happy Days, but this is like unbelievable.
A whole other side. Yeah, I know that's a big story in itself. I was singing before I was acting. When I was 15 years old, I was singing in the Catskill Mountains in the nightclubs. Upstate New York, it was a big resort area. That was my first love. And I always loved that kind of music, the great jazz standards, the American songbook, if you will.
So how did you get to, we're going to get to a bunch of things, but how did you get to the Catskills at 15? Did your family go up there? Did you audition for talent shows?
When I was about 13, I grew up in Brooklyn, and I had a love for that music starting at a very early age, and my parents found a place for me in Manhattan, a school run by he was an old vaudeville guy named Charlie Lowe, and he had a studio in 1650 Broadway, a very famous building in Manhattan. And I would go there, take the subway on weekends to go there for my lessons and for singing and acting and dancing. And then I got handpicked from that school by Charlie to be in his professional troupe that he would get booked in the Catskills. So that's how I landed that.
Such the all-American face that everyone remembers, the redhead, you must have looked all of 8 years old when you were doing that and singing. But, you know, obviously I know about the Catskills, and I did stand-up comedy for many years, and so many people got their start there. But there's right. a side of you. And I'm going to tell this story to my audience. I actually met Don in New Orleans. I was in Miss Louisiana. We were reminiscing right before we went on air. And I guess he was there at the Pelicans for my New Orleans friends, the Pelicans game, which was a triple A
minor. Yeah, triple A team. Yeah.
And I don't know how they got you to come down to throw out the first pitch, but
I know. I can't remember how. I think my cousin was working for them and he suggested me. So somehow they brought me in.
He was very sweet. I must have flirted with you. Don's been one of the few very happily married people, which I want to get to that too. But we did have one date, and I remember that. It was in my very first apartment in Hollywood. It was very exciting. Somewhere the picture that my roommate took of us. It was very, very cute. And you have been married to Morgan Hart, gorgeous, yes. for how many years?
38 years. Yeah. And, you know, and we met on the episode that you did on
the burlesque episode.
Oh, no, you did. So you did how many episodes?
I did three.
It wasn't the burlesque one. It was the one where Joni was posing, you know, for a photographer.
Oh no, I was on that too. Okay, yes. That's crazy. Yes, I was the nude model.
And Morgan was one of the nude models, and that's where we met.
You picked Morgan over me. I don't blame you. She's gorgeous, and you have two beautiful daughters and two older daughters now.
Yeah, they're 31 and 33. Wonderful, wonderful daughters. Very blessed, and unfortunately, we don't get to see them as much as I'd like because they're spread about the country. But one of these days, we're going to figure it out. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's what kids do. I didn't marry until I was 46, and I reunited with my junior high school sweetheart from New Orleans. So I had an instant family because I have two stepchildren now, five grandkids.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So it was instant. Oh, six. I'm sorry. I have six grandkids?
Oh, wait. There's one you forgot.
It's hard to keep track. Oh, that's right. I do have six. Five from, okay, got it. It's hard to keep track of them, but they're adorable. I know. It's hard. I mean, they were best, these kids. And they're still in Louisiana as well. But congratulations on being married and being one of the few Hollywood success stories of that many years. That's because you're a good guy. And I know Morgan's a sweet girl, even though we played nude models.
Yeah. Well, you never had to go really to that degree. It was just, it was suggested.
It was suggested. You know, the very first Happy Days I did, I did three, but I worked with Cassandra Peterson, who became Elvira.
All right.
And that was really cool. She was in that burlesque show, but I can't even imagine the women and the girls that you had that went through that show. Many that went on to be major stars and have their own shows through the years.
Yeah, we had a lot of great people come through our set. Oh, God, Cheryl Ladd did a guest role. Morgan Fairchild had a guest role on our show. Amy Irving played my girlfriend.
Wow.
There were so many. We had some wonderful, great, you know, guest stars And our cast, you know, our cast was such an amazing
family.
Family, absolutely. Great, great family.
You know, it was great. I mean, even though I wasn't there that much, but my story of moving to Los Angeles is because of Happy Days. So what happened is when I was Miss Louisiana, probably after I met you, I was sent out to Los Angeles to do some modeling. And The publicist for a jewelry line, she was the casting director for Happy Days. Was it before Bobby Hoffman?
Might have been Pat Harris.
Pat, yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes. So I was out there modeling. Her husband was a publicist, and I guess I went to dinner with them. They were being nice. You know, I was this nice little Jewish girl, and they felt sorry for me. And they took me out to dinner, and she said, you know, I have a part for you. I mean, that you could be good for in Happy Days. I was like, a part? I didn't even know what a casting director was. I mean, I dabbled in it, but I ended up, I forget the girl who got the part, but I ended up reading because I was studying theater in college and communications. Uh-huh. And anyway, long story short, I went in and I actually read against Henry Winkler. So that was like, and also, yeah, I mean, it was very intimidating. I mean, he was in the room. So, you know, here I am watching the show and all of a sudden I'm thrust into an, you know, into an audition. And so I was young. That was, I hadn't finished school. I think I was 19. And that's when my parents said, you're not going back to LA. I didn't get the part. And then they said, yeah.
So when I met you, so that was when you were 19. When I met you, what were you, 17?
No, it was probably right around that same time, 19, 20 years old.
Okay. It was around
the same time. I did not go back out to LA. And you know what? I was kidding with you earlier. I was saying, you know, you never know if I would have gone there earlier because, you know, I had big ears. I always had big ears. And that's why I like hosting. And I heard Pat say, you know, I could hear through the wall, like when I left the room, I didn't know anything about auditions, but I heard her say, she's just a little green, but she'd be really good. So I was like, maybe if I were to stay. You never know. You never know. But anyway, things hurt. Ah, I'm not supposed to touch my face, but there's a hair in my mouth. But it's in my own house. But anyway, it's all meant to be, and life turned out great. It's just things, life, you never know where it leads you. But you've done amazing. So you've continued. You're still acting as well. And
Oh, yeah. I have a movie on Amazon Prime, or you could also see it on Tubi or Roku. It's called MBF, Man's Best Friend.
Wow.
Very, very powerful film. And I play a defense attorney defending a wounded vet. It's a really nice movie. Really nice. And another one coming out in the fall called Lost Heart. And and I was doing a lot of theater right before all this happened.
Before you got into singing, did you find, and I'm just curious about this. I mean, when I left LA, you know, I was a little bit over 40 and I felt like, back then, I think it's different now, but like, I felt like, you know, I was expired and I played, you know, on Up All Night and hosted movies, but you never, being a male, you never went through that. And did you have to like reprove yourself that you were another character other than Ralph Mouth?
Big time. Oh yeah. When I, you know, I left the show after, the show ran 11 seasons.
I know.
But I left after my contract was up after the 7th season.
Oh.
Because I was feeling I needed to make a break and I was getting very much, you know, the typecast associated with that role. I was young and the show was so popular. Back then there was no internet, there was no cable. So, you know, it was the typecasting syndrome was much more of a thing than now. And now people go from TV to movies, movies to TV.
Right.
Back then, it was much more of a separation.
In a box.
Yeah, you were in a box. So it was very difficult for some time when I left the show. But I kept pushing, kept at it, and nicked away at it little by little. And things have opened up. And, you know, I did a recurring role on Glee and many other shows and movies, independent films. I've directed 3 independent films.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so, and with these new films that I've just recently done, I'm really excited because it's like, you know, I think because I'm certainly not a teenager, can't play, you know, early 20s anymore. So there's a, you know, I'm at a different place now and people are like coming to me now with offers, which is great.
Which is more, are you doing more than more serious roles? It seems like.
Yeah, for the most serious. Some have comedy in them too. You know, I'm open to comedy if it's something I like. But, you know, I was always, even before I got Happy Days, the early roles that I landed were more dramatic. That was what I was more interested in. Comedy was something I felt, I could do comedy if the material is right.
Right.
But it was not, I was not a comedian. I was not like that stand-up comedian kind of guy.
No, you're an actor playing a comic. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So what do you think about like all of the episodic on all the networks today? I mean, you know, I think I find some of the best acting is now Netflix and these other networks. And, you know, the movies don't seem to have as much meat to them. Or is that just me? Is this both?
Well, I think it's because the studios aren't making those kind of movies, you know, that have great character development and have great stories. And the studios are doing more of the, you know, the tentpole kind of movies that are, whether they're comic book movies or action thrillers. So it's left up to the independents and Netflixes or whatever to do the kind of really interesting character studies and movies that I've always loved.
Me too.
That were about story and not so much just the, you know, the flash and the bells and whistles. It was more about something that meant, you know, that would touch on your emotions,
right?
And really grab you in terms of a story, and that's what I've always loved.
So I mean, you can build on the characters. I mean, would you ever do one of the episodics? You know, the ones that last for years.
Do an episodic. Yeah, depending on what the premise is and what it's all about, sure. Because there's some good, you know, some really good things being done these days.
Really good.
Yeah.
Is anything anything you guys have I'm sure during the shutdown that you've binge watched that you've really loved?
You know, I haven't done that, you know. It's funny though, Morgan, as you talked about my wife, she said she wanted to do like comedy therapy, you know, like let's have some comedy therapy because that's what we need right now.
Right.
And she said, you know, there's so many episodes of Happy Days I've never seen. Why don't we watch some of these shows? So we've been doing that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I recommend that to everyone. I mean, you know, it's such an iconic show, you know, out of everything that I've ever done, and I've done a lot, little things for many years. I was out there 26 years. Happy Days is always, and I had two lines in Spaceballs. It's like Happy Days and Spaceballs with everything else. It's like, to be in an iconic show like that, but at least you were able to break mold and character and as Henry. And I believe Anson's done pretty well too. You guys have stayed friendly, right? You guys at a convention signing pictures, which was really cool.
Yeah. Anson and I are like best friends.
That's awesome.
We're like the bestest friends, and we talk several times a week and see each other all the time, which is great. It's fabulous. And I've stayed in touch with everyone else. We stay in touch. It's kind of like your cousins, your uncle, your cousins, Marion's my aunt, you know.
That is a beautiful thing. I mean, it really is. Bobby Hoffman, who was a casting director, who was like, to me, the epitome of what a casting director should look like with his little hat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's me. His little hat. I mean, it was just a great, I mean, Happy Days is legendary and iconic.
Yeah, we had an amazing group of people. Gary Marshall as our executive producer, you know,
Did you realize when you were doing it, because you're so young, did you ever realize, I mean, I guess it caught on and Henry Winkler and the Fonz, but did you have any idea what it would become or?
No, nobody could really predict that. You know, that would be insane to be able to predict the level of success and the iconic nature that the show took on. But I knew when I was doing it and I just on an instinctual basis, because I remember calling my parents in Brooklyn saying, when we were doing the pilot, and I said, I've got a really good feeling. I think this could work, because I was seeing the chemistry with everybody and I was feeling the talent. You know, there was amazing talent in that cast. And we weren't taken seriously back then. The industry did not, they thought we were a bunch of kids fooling around. But we took it very seriously.
Oh, I know you did.
And we worked really hard, and there were amazingly talented people to make that work the way it did.
Ron Howard.
Yeah. Whatever happened to him?
Yeah, the poor guy. Gee. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, I mean, so Ron and Henry, who just won the Emmy last year for Barry, and Tom Bosley and Marion and oh my God, and Anson and like I said, we had Gary Marshall at our helm, and Jerry Paris was our
Yes,
he was our director, who was one of the brilliant minds in comedy. He directed most of the old Dick Van Dyke shows, played the next door neighbor, and we were so lucky to have Jerry. And he became like my uncle, and he mentored. He and Gary were great mentors to all of us.
They seemed to really love. I mean, just from looking back, and I was really young too, but they loved you guys. I mean, it was a close family. I remember the table readings. Even they were just very special.
It was.
So your parents were always behind what you were doing, even as a young kid. You were lucky. Me too. I was lucky to have.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
So your daughters had no interest in the entertainment business, or
thank God, you know. Thank God, because it's just such a cruel, unfair, sick,
it's crazy
business, you know. And the only way I tell people to pursue it is if it's the only thing you could ever think of doing, and there's nothing else you want to do, and that's it. Okay, then pursue it. But otherwise, I would discourage everyone. Because
it's hard. Well, it's hard. It's heartbreak, and you don't want to take it personally. But when you get rejected, you can't help but take it personally.
Yeah.
I should have done this. I should have done that. You know, it's really hard.
It's very cruel and unfair. You know, so that's why I say the only way I would say to anyone to encourage them is if it's the only thing, and you're so passionate that you know that is it. Okay, then pursue it. But otherwise, find something else.
I tell young people, I speak in front of a lot of, as an entrepreneur in the, you know, the intimate apparel business I've gone into, but I tell them, if you love it, you got to at least get it out of your blood. Whatever it is, you got to get it out. You got to try it, because you'll always wonder. So.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Definitely. Now tell me about the music. Now that's exciting. So obviously I read that you did, while you were in Happy Days, you hit the Billboard Top 100 with a song.
Top 40, actually.
Top 40. Oh, yeah. My God. Like, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, but you know, the album I did back then, it was like the late 70s. It's not what the music I really was about, but they wouldn't let me do the Great American Songbook back then, because in the late 70s, that was looked upon as, you know, the Great American Songbook and the standards. It was looked upon as, at that point, as your parents and grandparents' music.
Right.
But, you know, but it was years later that where it had a renaissance.
And a
rejuvenation. But so I couldn't do, and that's the music I loved, but I did more of a pop rock album. And it was good. It was a great experience, but it was not what I was really about. But the album that came out 2.5 years ago, Mostly Swinging, that you played something from, that's more of what I'm about. And I'm actually in the middle of doing another CD with a producer in Nashville, a guy named Tony Mantor, who's a wonderful producer. And it's, again, jazz standards, but it's not the old school big band.
Right.
It's a little more contemporary jazz mixed in with some cool 70s, you know, 70s classic rock and R&B and the jazz standards. And so I'm excited, but we couldn't continue it. We're about 3/4 done, and then everything hit, and we had to pull back.
So you'll get back to it.
Yeah, we'll get back to it.
What about, because you were also on tour too, because I was saying there's a great theater in this area called Mahaffey, and I remember telling you and Anson, I said, you've got to perform there, and
where is that?
It's in St. Petersburg, and I mean, of course, they're shut down right now too, but I'm good friends with them. I was actually on the board at one point, but they are, I think they would love you. They would just love you.
Talk to them. Talk to them. Tell them and let's work it out.
Absolutely. No, I'm serious. I mean, my gosh, especially just, they would love you. I know that. I will talk to them.
We're going to make this happen.
We will make it happen. I love that. You know, there's a piece of me that I always love you know, helping people, you know, younger people, but I like helping my friends too.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but that would be so cool to have you down here. And then, you know, maybe more. We'll get to, like, hopefully not social distance and get to eat. My husband and I love to cook and have a good time. But, yeah, you need to get back on the road. A friend of mine texted me right before, you know, we came on, Kenny Ellis. I don't know if you remember meeting Kenny Ellis.
Sounds really familiar.
Kenny is a cantor and has a great voice. And I know he worked on the same show with you somewhere. And he's got a strong voice. And he was my first comedy partner when I first hit L.A. And I met him in Harvey Lembeck's workshop. So he sent me a picture of you and he backstage somewhere. So,
oh, wow. That's cool.
Very, very cool. But you have a gorgeous voice. I want everybody to get Mostly Swinging, including myself. It's so romantic. You know, I was always a Frank Sinatra fan. And
you'll love it. Because I've got a bunch of Sinatra songs and that kind of, you know, that's that same kind of genre and style. You've got to get it.
So do you sing to Morgan? Do you sing romantic songs to Morgan still?
Sometimes, sure.
That's sweet. Well, I just want to thank you for coming on. We're going to put up all of your information that we can find you. And will you come back on another time?
Absolutely, Rhonda. I would love to.
So sweet. Sweethearts, listen, I want to send Morgan, because I can't send you any intimate apparel, but we always send goodie bags. So since you can't get bras and panties and nightgowns, but you're...
Yeah, probably not.
But you'll like them on her. I think I would. So we want to get her information, and we will send Morgan a nice little goodie bag from Rhonda Shear Intimates.
Love it. Love it.
Love you, John. Love you. And I love your music. And keep doing it. And I'll get you booked here at the Mahaffey. We're on it. I'm on it.
Great. So great to see you and talk with you again, Rhonda.
Thank you. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Wow. I'm talking icons tonight. Don Most. We all know him from Happy Days. Remember him having Happy Days, but another great career and a really serious actor. We have to check out the other things he's been doing. But just like I thought the character of Rhonda from Up All Night, I guess he did too. So it's just typical, but I'm so glad that he's still working. And it's very exciting. Okay, before we move on, I forgot. I got so excited talking with Don, which we go back so many years. That I forgot to remind everybody that, you know, this is a social hour, so we like to have a sip of something. And when I say hair, because it's all about your hair looking good, your hair looks good. Don's hair looked good. I feel like my hair is looking good tonight. So here we go. Hair. Wait, one more time. Take a sip of something when I say hair. It could be water, it could be coffee. Hopefully it's a glass of wine or scotch. Oh, hello. Whew, how'd you get over that interview? Tonight, I mean, I got the boys on tonight. But before we go to another friend of mine who we did have to pre-tape, we don't mind. And this next guest is pre-taped. And I'll always let you know when we're live or not. Sometimes we just can't because of the other people's schedule, especially in the lockdown. But the lockdown, it is kind of like a lockdown. Oh, wait. Before I get to that, though, I need to do mail. Viewer mail. Okay, because we actually got our first viewer mail on www.rhondashearsocialhour.com. So if you want to reach out to us, go to rhondashearsocialhour.com. You can reach out. Tell us what you want to see, who you want to see on the show. If you have any special talent, we're doing this cool little bit called Kook of the Week. Now, we're not meaning you're kooky. We're meaning a kooky bit, you juggle, you do something fun, maybe you balance dishes on your head. Let us know. We're looking to make you a star, so please let us know and write in. So here we go. My first viewer mail of the week. Dear Ms. Shear, It is an absolute pleasure to write you. I'm a huge fan. I was a teen during the USA Up All Night years, and I had the biggest crush on you. I look forward to Friday night each week. I also look forward to seeing you, but also amazing movies such as Toxic Avenger, Class of Nukem High, and Night of the Comet. Those are all Lloyd Kaufman films, and hopefully we're going to have Lloyd Kaufman on next week with Troma. So fingers crossed. I'll let you know about that, the legendary Lloyd Kaufman and Troma. Anyway, getting back to the letter, the movies were the best, and getting to see you made it even better. I'm sending a couple of cards and a self-addressed stamped envelope. Can I please have you sign them? It's still a bit overwhelming to be writing you. You are actually my first crush. But then he went on and he mentioned other women. Anyway, thank you so much for your time. Love you, Matt Newman. Well, thank you, Matt. That's very sweet. I appreciate it. I really appreciate your letters. If you go to the website again, www.rondashearsocialhour.com, you can have snail mail. If you want to send snail mail, we give you an address. And we'll get pictures out to you. By the way, we are also, we have masks. We have beautiful masks. You can go to www.rondashear.com. I don't have them out tonight, but really pretty. So if, believe it or not, some sexy masks. And I think we're going to be wearing those for a while because we need to social distance and we need to really listen and stay our 6 feet apart. And also, I have another crazy thing before introducing my next guest is that I'm on Cameo. I don't know if you all know what Cameo.com is, C-A-M-E-O.com. You can actually book me for your own private video. Now, I don't mean anything weird. I know my Up All Night fans, but I mean like a happy birthday, a congratulations, an anniversary. Some really nice guy just booked me for his mom's birthday because he used to sneak out and watch me on Up All Night and she used to get mad at him. So anyway, it was very cute. So please go to cameo.com and then search Rhonda Shear if you want to book me. I'm pretty cheap. Okay, so anyway, now I am going to introduce or let the film run or the tape run, I should say, for a dear friend of mine, Tanea Brooks. Let's hear what she is up to right now on the Rhonda Shear. The most special guest is getting ready to join me. Longtime friends, we're talking about a gal with such an amazing background. Started as a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, actress, professional dancer, which she'll tell you about the dance group that she was involved with in Los Angeles, actress. She has changed careers, and I love that because I'm one who did that myself, and she has become a formidable wrestler, female wrestler. So we're talking a strong, beautiful, fabulous woman. And here's the cool part. She did some modeling for me, and I miss those days because she was the best ever. This is Tanea Rebel Brooks. How are you, gorgeous?
Hi, I'm so good. You look beautiful, and cheers.
Or as we like to say on this show, hair. Hair. When we say the word hair, you take a sip. So hair.
Oh, hair.
Everybody take a sip. By the way, your hair looks great. The last I saw you in person, you were more of a blonde.
Oh, that's right. And I chopped it all off.
Yeah, it's amazing that I didn't meet you earlier in Los Angeles, but you're younger, so you didn't quite fit into my Up All Night days. But I
tell you what, though, I was an avid watcher of Up All Night.
You would have been so great on the show. And when Tanea modeled for me at some of the conventions she did, she literally would do handstands, and everyone would come, handstands and walkovers and cartwheels, and everybody would come to our booth. But tell me about Rebel, because you've changed from different federations, and I don't know that much about it. I mean, I knew a little bit about WWE, which I know is something else now, but tell us how you got started and flip-flop from Los Angeles to wrestling.
Okay. So, well, you know, by living in living in LA, you become a Jill of all trades, and you have so many different job opportunities there. And I had spent most of my career in being in front of the camera. And at one point, Terry Groves, our mutual friend, was my mentor. And I decided that I would get into that. And so I contacted a girlfriend of mine, and her name is Christy Hemme. And she and I used to tour with that dancing, singing show group called the Perfect Angels back in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So I just said, you know, I'm trying to get behind the camera. And if you ever need a makeup artist, you know, let me know. And she said, oh my gosh, you'd be perfect for this role to play the girlfriend of a wrestler. And I said, no. I want to get behind the camera. And she said, well, I don't think you can get into the makeup department unless you do this role.
Wow.
Okay. And then they said, you know, if you want to stick around, go learn how to wrestle. So I did. I picked up my bags and I moved to Louisville, Kentucky, where there is a
fitness
wrestling school, OVW. And I just fell in love with wrestling day one and haven't looked back. And I started wrestling on TNA Impact Wrestling on Spike TV. And then from there, I traveled. I wrestled in Japan, which is a big honor to get to go there and wrestle. I've wrestled in India. I went to Pakistan. I've been to the UK. I'm trying to think of all the countries off the top of my head, but it's been a whirlwind. And
what made you fall in love with it? I mean, was it the physical part? I mean, because you have to be really dedicated to training to wrestle.
That I picked up while in Los Angeles and in being a jill of all trades is I played full contact tackle football for the Lingerie Bowl. And I probably was then that I knew that I was a badass because the girls were scared to go up against me. They actually had to give me a talking to because when Lingerie Bowl originally started, it was all models. And today, are just extreme athletes are awesome. But it originated with models. And I just was a good old country girl who wasn't scared to get dirty. And they were like, you need to take it easy. These girls have to work modeling. And I just was having a blast, like knocking for them, you know, it was therapeutic for me. So,
and you were a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. So you've been competitive. So you probably have that competitive nature in your blood as well.
Oh, absolutely. But not, you know, I don't really look at it as it being competitive. I just, I've always been a person go, like, I look at something and that's what I want. I really just
go for it.
Yeah, go for it. But now there has been a new company called All Elite Wrestling. And they are now on the TNT network, and the show airs on Wednesday nights, 7-8 Central, or 8-7 Central. And so I got a contract with them as a makeup and hair artist because of the girls recently. I've turned into being back on camera in front of the camera.
Okay, this is crazy. You've been wrestling. Then you get a contract as makeup hair. You're a fabulous makeup hair artist, by the way, which is incredibly talented. People, it's not just like going to your local salon. I mean, she is professional and some playmates and everything else that I know and my own makeup. But so you get a contract with them and then you end up wrestling. So, I mean, it's not a step backward, but it's a step in a different direction when you had already been wrestling. I mean, didn't you want to wrestle when you went there?
Yes. I mean, wrestling and entertainment will always be in my blood. And and I will always bring my boots and just in case they need. And I haven't wrestled on the show. I started being on camera with Britt doing her makeup and we had an interview and they needed someone to interview on her behalf. And so I did that, and they just loved the dynamic between the two of us. They were like, we got to have them both back on. And so we've been doing – she recently just broke her tibia. So now we're on the show together, but not wrestling. And I don't know where it's going to go.
But are you wrestling again, though? Are you wrestling that right now?
I still wrestle. I have not wrestled on the show, and I don't know that there will ever be plans for me to wrestle. I'm just enjoying the character that I and what I'm doing now. And if they ever need me, then I'll be happy to wrestle.
I just don't know how anyone, I mean, you're so fabulous physically. You're a thing to watch in motion. I mean, you're gorgeous and your dance background. But I have seen you holding a belt. So you have won competitions. So yes. Who did you win those for? Who did you win those competitions for?
Those were, they're on the independent scene is when I won those belts.
Okay, so here's a couple of other questions. First of all, you become friendly with these women. Obviously, there's a great sorority. I know because I did a little work when I was on USA Network with WWE, and that was really cool. So I got to meet some of the wrestlers, and there is like this camaraderie. But when you face them in the ring, I mean, is it real competition? Is it scripted? Is it a little scripted? Is it a little? Is there reality to it, or is it completely scripted?
There definitely is reality to it. Like the hits are real. I mean, and that's how we, you know, after show, like you're bruised. You're sometimes you break it, which is what Britt did. You know, they threw this girl on top of her and it broke her knee. That's never intentional to break someone's knee or to break her nose or anything like that. But you know, unfortunately, it comes with the territory because you really are getting hit. You know who's going to win most of the time. Now, it could be that they get a word in the ref's ear and they change it in the middle of the match. But
it's so. Here's my another question is, so it's fascinating to me. Like, so through the years when I was on Up All Night and I actually was in WW number 10. We'll have to find pictures and put that up where. I was the bell ringer and it was very cool. And I couldn't believe the legions of fans. It was in Los Angeles, I believe, back then. But anyway, what is it that draws people to wrestling? And actually, like people, like you, in your mind, you would think it's a certain type of person, like you're a good old country boy, when in fact, it's some of the most intellectual people. I mean, doctors and lawyers. And I mean, they are drawn to us. What do you think draws all intellectual groups to wrestling in general? What do you think it is?
I think it's different for each person, really. I've heard stories for like, you know, maybe one person, their grandpa used to take them, you know, to wrestling, even though maybe that, you know, that wasn't, they weren't into that at that moment. And then once, you know, the grandpa passed, that he now is a fan, you know, or maybe it's like they were never into wrestling and they see a character that they connect with. And then they become a wrestling fan. Some, you know, are just wrestling fans and love it, you know, since they came out of the womb. But I think it's different for each person.
And also what I saw when I first did it back, I'm talking many years ago on Up All Night or USA Network when I did that show, there was some female wrestlers, but not like there is now. It's a whole new, like there's amazing, like that is just as big as the male wrestling. Would you, or is it still more male over female? There's more female wrestling in the big leagues now.
You definitely, women's wrestling is definitely more prevalent than it used to be. And, you know, back in the day, they used to get like one segment and it was a pillow fight, you know?
Right.
Today we might see two or three segments. And it's wrestling, you know?
Oh yeah, no. Back on the day, you were too young, but I mean, this would definitely be a put down to women. But we had mud wrestling on USA Up All Night, and we had like you know, all those kind of things, and that was like Jello wrestling. But I mean, I admire you. You're also a beautiful dancer. Like we're talking ballet trained, and did that help you in the ring when you first started training?
Absolutely. You know, it helped with my cardio, even though wrestling is a different type of cardio, you know, but dance is a high, your cardio has to be high when you have a dance background. And so it definitely helped with the in-ring cardio. It helped with agility. It helped with flexibility. You know, there was times when I was learning wrestling moves. I'm like, aha, that's an arabesque or that's a kick. And they're calling it, you know, whatever their special move is called. So, definitely.
I mean, are you still training, even though right now you're doing more makeup and hair? Do you still train?
Yeah.
How often? Yeah, you'll lose it, right?
Absolutely. The COVID, unfortunately, like not being able to practice or get in a ring for a couple of months is, that's brutal. It's hard to get back into the swing. You definitely lose, you know.
I think everybody's going to struggle, but I think everybody will get it back, especially you. So, I mean, I love that you're doing this. So your contract's sweet. You moved to Florida and you love it. And I'm in Florida as well. And you love it here. So you definitely have to come visit. Well, social distance, but you have to come visit. And I'm so proud of you. So do you think that we could ever convince you maybe just to do a little modeling for us again?
Oh, Rhonda, you know, I loved working for you and you know, I just always had a blast. Your energy is so infectious and magical. And I remember us all going to New York, and I'll never see New York the same. It's in New York just broadened my horizons. And I loved your staff. I loved just.
Thank you. And they love you. They all talk of you.
And all your bras and everything. There wasn't one piece I didn't like.
We're going to send you some goodies for being such a good sport and being on the show. And we want you back too. We want to keep up with you and what you're doing. And we definitely want you to visit. And I'm going to have Marie, who's also my producer on this show, reach out to you, because if we can get you to come here and do some posing for us, we'd be so happy. You're so close. You need to be back on our website again, girl.
Honored.
I mean, come on, you've never stopped doing a million things. And, you know, I'm a girl that still has her toe in show business, and we have to keep doing it all, right?
Absolutely.
Got to keep in touch with us. I'm so glad that we got back in touch with you. I love you. You never change. And we're going to put up all your information online, and then we're going to drop in some, you know, we're pre-taping today. We're just being honest because we're a live show, but that's okay. Rebel. She's Rebel Tanea, but she's fabulous to us. And we'll drop in some fabulous footage of you modeling, and we will be back in touch with you. And I thank you so much for being on Rhonda's social distance, social hour. The last thing we have to do is talk about our hair and take a sip of wine, though. Woo, girl. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
We're back live, and as I say, let's do it again. That's the fabulous Erica Flaskamp, she's written our theme song and my hair song, and she's going to write a whole bunch of more jingles or whatever you call them. And we love her. And she was a guest on I think our first or second show. She'll be back on too. She's living in New Orleans, and she is when all of this opens up, she's going to wow them with her voice. Okay, so we forgot about, I get surprised by my producer, because I like to put up a little clip from my past called Rhonda Remembers. So let's see what Rhonda Remembers is this week.
For the bathtub layout, I think we need Michelle. Thank you, girls. You're all lovely. We'll use you later. Bye-bye. Chachi.
Yeah, right here, Jake. Right here.
We're going to use Michelle for the nude shots.
Oh, what a wonderful choice.
Did you check the lights?
Yeah, they're back there somewhere.
You seem kind of young. I hope I don't embarrass you.
You go right ahead.
Michelle will get a whole series of shots. Some in the robe, some checking the water. Most of the shots will come after you take the robe off.
Oh, Jake, you're a genius.
Michelle, go behind the screen and get changed, sweetheart. Chachi.
Yes.
You've got to learn not to get so excited when we do nude shots.
Oh, you're right. But I'm getting better. At least you don't have to stuff a rag in my mouth anymore.
Call her when she's ready.
You got it. How you doing back there?
Fine.
Need a hand?
No, thanks.
You ready yet?
Here I come.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, I Jake, this is my cousin Arthur Fonzarelli. Fonzie, Jake.
Hello.
Yeah. And who might you be?
I'm Michelle.
You certainly are.
Look, Jake, you mind if he stays and watches?
No, fine. Just please be quiet.
Like a mouse. Like a mouse.
Okay, everybody ready?
Yeah.
Chachi, make sure the light stays right with me. You ready, Michelle? Let's go. Wonderful. Wonderful, darling. Terrific. Wonderful.
Is this a bathrobe bed?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. It's a mighty robe.
Okay, Michelle, drop the robe.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. I can't see anything.
What's the matter?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, thank you all. That was like pranking me. I hope Don's still watching that. That's really wild. I haven't seen that clip in a long time. That is the same episode that Don Most met his beautiful wife, Morgan Hart, on. I guess we both played nude models, but he chose her over me, but it's okay. No, that's fabulous. I mean, that actually, people still write me about that episode. And Scott Baio, I stayed in touch with him for years. Happy Days, classic episode with obviously the team. I got asked by Renee about, you know, what it was like to work with Marion Ross from Don Most. I just know that he said it was like a big family, they were all like a big family. And I saw that even for the few times that I was on the set. It was a really, really cool feeling there. Wish I would have been a regular, but oh well. I guess they didn't like my nude part. Anyway, I'm really excited about my next guest. And I'm telling you next week, I'm telling you right now, we have a whole like B-movie festival for you next week. We have a scream queen, a very famous scream queen, and I'm not going to name names in case something happens. Another actress who is just winning Emmys like crazy. We have producers from Up All Night. We have producers that have produced some of the films that I aired during my tenure on USA Up All Night. It's going to be really, really good. So if you are a B-film like fanatic, you definitely want to tune in to us live 9 p.m. on either Rhonda Shear's fan page on Facebook, or hopefully by then we'll have www.rhondashearsocialhour.com up. Anyway, just keep looking out for social media. We'll let you know where to find us. In the meantime, we did go to tape a little while earlier, and I got like all silly and fluffy because this next gentleman's very special to me. I've been doing his radio show, but I'll let the tape speak for itself. Enjoy. And now we get to introduce one of my favorite personalities. I have been so privileged to be on his show for almost 2 years now since my book came out, Up All Night. He's had me as a guest every few weeks, and I love going on his show. He is a legendary broadcaster. He's been in the business many years. He has literally interviewed every human being on the planet. And you know him now as the voice of New York on WOR. That can be heard on iHeartRadio. Everybody can get it. Plus, he has a podcast. He's on every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. through 12 p.m. Eastern time. It is my pleasure to introduce the very hard to get to know Mark Simone. Hi, Mark. Are you there?
Can you hear me? I'm here. I'm right here.
I was so nervous to speak to you. Which is so funny because I do your show and it's awesome. I love being on the air with you, and I wish we could get into more things. We always talk about fashion. I even put a bra on the set for you in your honor.
Very nice.
But
a lot of fabric in that one.
this is about you. So I was actually,
I don't know what you're wearing, but that is beautiful.
Thank you. A little lace top. We're down here in Florida. It's very hot. Okay, you're not gonna hijack.
You look great, but the chair. I don't know about the chair.
This is Florida. Very flashy here. I know you're very monotone. You're a guy. Oh, by the way, before I go on, we play a drinking game. And when I say hair, because everybody's been having trouble not wanting to go to hairdressers, you have to say cheers and just take a sip of whatever you're drinking. So hair. Your hair looks great.
This is water.
I believe you. It looks like vodka to me, but
It's mostly water, though.
And it's a Ralph Lauren glass, because I know my...
There is some water in there.
I know my crystal. And I saw you out last night with Gucci belts on, too. A Gucci belt buckle. So, okay, so before I get to your personal stuff, I just have to, I'm blown away. I listened to this little snippet, and it was a snippet of you interviewing. You had, I mean, just introducing Bob Hope, Perry Como, Don Rickles, Jay Leno, Seinfeld, Bill Maher. Huh, I got a story about him. Frank Sinatra, Donald Trump, of course, is a good friend. John Stewart, Regis Philbin, Mel Brooks, Dennis Miller. Blows me away because I know you love comics, and you started off. And Heidi Klum, by the way, and you flirted with her.
With her?
You flirted a little bit with her. You're like, oh, you were rejected. Did you ever get rejected, Heidi?
No, I asked her a very important question. For every woman who's had a guy leave them, not be interested, dump them, I asked her, does it ever happen to her? And I could ask you too, just so women know it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Don't take it personally. It happens to
everybody. Yeah. Well, she actually spun that and she said, oh yeah, I've had rejection, but in my career, like I got turned down. She didn't actually say a guy dumped her. She actually spun it and said it was in her career. So it's fine. Same with me. Yeah. Actually, you know who, the only guy who ever dumped me is the guy I'm married to right now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you certainly paid him back.
Yeah, he's still paying for it too.
No.
But you love comedy. And I was reading, you started in 77 on the Mark Simone Show. And it also blew me away. I didn't know that you worked with someone I adore who I became friendly with, Steve Allen.
Oh, I love Steve Allen. Now, a lot of people might not know about Steve Allen. He was the greatest television pioneer. He invented The Tonight Show, among other things. And it was a brilliant guy. He discovered more stars than anybody else ever.
What was that like working with him? Because he was such a great improvisational personality. And he wrote, was it No Business Like Show Business? He wrote a really famous song.
This could be the start of something big.
The start of something big. I mean, he was a great, I was booked on a show. He was on for like a season. I got booked on the sixth episode when I was just starting my comedy career and they canceled it. That was my luck in the beginning. But I loved him and I got to work with him a few times and he was just awesome. But so you did a show with him for how long?
Oh, for about 2.5 years. I think we were locked in a room together every day for three hours, I think. And we had a regular panel that included Mel Brooks, a young Bill Maher, Jay Leno, every great comedy writer in the world. It was just unbelievable. You remember the old Sid Caesar writing room?
Yes.
Where all those geniuses were in one room?
Yes.
People who were there, who were on the show, said that's exactly what it sounded like. Larry Bart, all these guys.
I know you were already well on your way, but you must have learned so much from these guys. I mean, they're like, that's such a wealth of comedy and information there.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes you'd be out ad-libbing Steve Allen, you know, the old veteran, but sometimes it was like the old fighter. If you hit him too hard, he woke up and he'd come back and just destroy you with ad-libs. He was brilliant.
Brilliant and sweet, salt of the earth, had a great marriage, just a great guy. I was lucky enough. I mean, I moved to Los Angeles in 78 and I was very, very young, right out of college. I know I'm older than you, but right out of college. And I got to meet and work with Bob Hope was the first person who ever hired me. Yeah. So I heard you interviewing him. I was like, whoa, that's cool. Now, Bill Maher, what was that? I mean, it's funny because I heard you were asking something to Bill Maher. He was driving and you said, are you on your cell phone? He's like, I'm being driven. See, Bill was really down to earth and then he became that guy. Oh, I'm being driven. But anyway.
Well, you know, like I said, he was a young guy. I was a young guy. We worked on that show for, and I don't know if you know, but Steve Allen was like a father to him.
I do know that.
Yeah, he was like his mentor. So. We worked together on that for a long time. Then years later, when he's the very, very liberal guy, and sometimes we'd be on the air fighting, and if it started to get a little heated, he would say, because we got to stop. Steve wouldn't like this. Steve was not doing this, and we'd stop.
That's interesting that he would have done that.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I mean,
did you say you went out with him?
With Bill? Yeah, I went out with him a few times, but he hated the guy I was dating. I was dating this comic. He'd been on The Tonight Show 21 times, and he just thought he was a loser.
Are you going to hear that name?
Oh, Bobby Kelton, it's fine. So, I mean, I'm not like you. I just put it all out there. See you. Okay, so this is exciting. I do your show, and thank you for having me on. And I love Blaine, your producer. He lets me know, and I get so excited when I see his email. Do you want to come on this week? And anyway,
how it started? Because
I'll tell you how it started is I had a publicist when my book first came out, And my neighbor is, oh my gosh, like, she's one of the women who love you. And she's like, you need to get on that show. So I begged my publicist to call you guys, and you were very nice and put me on. So I appreciate that. And you've really helped with book sales and everything else.
When we have guests on, we try not to have one-time guests, no matter, even if it's a big name. You want to develop regulars. You want to have a family of regulars.
Yes.
The biggest thing is if somebody sounds pretty good, you can bring them back. I just remember you. After the first 10 minutes, I realized this is like a once every couple of weeks forever guest.
Thank you.
It was perfect.
Thank you. I mean, I love being on the air. You know, I would love to. I used to do a lot of talk shows in the 90s, and I always came on and did love and romance topics. Long before I had my own, you know, intimate apparel business, and I did stand up comedy for many years. I headlined. I don't know if you know that, but that was like I was in that era that there was very few women because you were supposed to look funny to be funny. So it was a really hard time. But I ended up, you know, making my way, and I headlined all the clubs in Vegas and opened for people. But anyway, knock on wood, your love of comedy. I mean, you blow me away because you're so funny on the air and you're so fast. But then when I read your background, I'm like, well, you actually hosted a daily comedy show.
Oh, yeah. If I can say myself without sounding like it's bragging, that Steve Allen show for those couple of hours every day was the single funniest show I've ever heard on the radio. Sometimes you can go back and listen to those tapes, and you can't believe all the talent in one room just firing away at each other.
Well, who owns that? Can't that be a podcast? That would be like an amazing podcast.
Well, I saved every show. I have like 10,000 hours of that. And being the laziest guy in the world, when it went off 20 years ago, I started editing it. I think I'm up to about 20 minutes. I have to go through all that stuff.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you don't think people are into that, but they are. Like, and I'm lucky because the producers, not the ones that are here today, because my husband's filling in for one.
Oh, that's 20 minutes to get the thing to work.
Exactly. That's he's laughing. The peanut gallery back there. My fans love, you know, comedy. And to me, anybody who is doing stand-up today should know the comics of yesteryear. Like, it really bothers me when people don't have that. I mean, I did my homework. I knew all these people. Okay, so another thing, you also worked with Tom Snyder, which is very interesting. And I didn't know that because I used to always watch Tom Snyder. So you've had this very varied career, but your voice, which is really interesting, seems like it's never changed through the years. You have the most amazing voice, which I've heard people compliment. But you are so amazing on, I know I'm just kissing your butt right now, but it's okay. On WR, and you know, every, I'm gonna say again, 10 to 12 Eastern time, iHeartRadio, everybody can find it. And then it's a podcast. And you have all kinds of people on. And it's interesting because I know you seem to lean more to the right, but...
Well, it depends what it is. Some things I'm left, some things I'm right.
I saw that in your picture the other night, by the way. You might want to take a look at that. See, this is where I want to go with you on your show. I'm like, I want to be the naughty Rhonda, but every time I try to go that way, you push me back. And you're so good at it because this is like, you know, walk in the park for you. And I try to just, let me just see if I can do a little Hollywood gossip. Or let me just see if I can do a little sexy. And then you pull me back, you rein me back in. So why can't we do that every now and then?
Because what is it you want to do?
Well, you know, okay. Women love you. And this is how I know, because I'm getting your fans. I'm getting emails. I'm getting Facebook. Like, and they're like, don't say this to Mark. He'll never have you back on. Or don't go there. But I'm like, but I think he's a little flirty. I flirt with him a little bit and he's okay. So,
but you're a married woman. It's proper now. You have to stop.
Oh, my husband loves it. I mean, the first thing, are you kidding? You know how we got married? He called me many years. This is, you know, I actually was right after the Ron Perlman, you know, like, that was like, it was like 2 seconds. I mean, it was like 2 days. No, not a big deal. But it was like right around then. And I
guess Ron Perlman, that's a long relationship.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right. Oh, my gosh. He asked me the weirdest question. He asked me how much my jeans cost. And I thought, that's a weird question from a billionaire.
He's a friend of mine. He's a great guy.
I love him.
Yeah, and it's one thing I've always noticed. You can always see how he got to be a billionaire. He's like asking everything, evaluating everything, collecting tons of data into his head. Donald Trump, same way. He'll do that too.
Okay. Well, my husband always says, he says, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And I'm not a good keeper, but you know, I'm not. So, but no, I actually thought Ron Perlman was very nice. He was very, very sweet to me. I never had any bad relationships. I can say that anything really horrible happened in.
You send Christmas cards to Henry Winkler.
Except for.
You told me once that was the.
Except for him. Oh, that's really funny because Donnie Most is on this evening as well. So.
Oh, good.
So, who was Ralph Ralph on Happy Days? Okay, so who discovered you? Your very first job. How did you walk in and get your very first job? And who was the one who said, is there anybody you can say, thank you for giving me this? Because this is what I loved. Because I can see that you love what you do.
Well,
I never get to
remember. You know, it's like when I was a kid, I always wanted to be on the radio or TV. And people say, "What? You know, why would you want to be on? Why'd you want to be on TV? Why'd you want to be on the radio?" And I always think, why wouldn't you? Why would you want to go sit in an office all day and look at financial statements or do something like that? Or even great job like being a doctor. That just doesn't seem like something I'd want to spend all day doing. So I just always hung around radio stations. I did whatever I could. I guess, it's like you. You know, every time you got to another job, that person was the person who
hired you for the next job. Oh, I understand. Like, it's a Rolodex. I don't know if anybody knows what that word means anymore, but you got to keep in touch with all those people, and they are the people that you end up working with through your whole life. You've worked everywhere. You've been at CNN, NBC. Is there a network that you've missed? I mean, it's really interesting. Are you completely happy now? Or would you be happier if Fox would give you your own show? Because that would make me really happy.
No, I can't do my own show because it screws up your whole night. You know, I love doing Lou Dobbs because you're out of there by 8 o'clock.
I have no discipline whatsoever. So, I mean, when you come in the morning, do you know, you've read the newspaper, you've done it. I mean, how do you prepare for your shows?
Well, actually, I don't read any newspapers anymore. In fact, if it's in the newspaper, it's not going to be on my show. What I talk about should be in tomorrow's newspaper.
Yes.
Not today's. But when it comes to discipline, the quarantine was a good example, the lockdown, because when that started, you said to yourself, this is where I'll get everything done. This is where I'll go through all those Steve Allen shows. This is where I'll clean out that closet. Right. And I made a list of every project. And every day I'd notice I didn't get anything done on it. So make the list over again. And that's all I got done. I just rewrote the list every day. I think out of 100 things, I got one done. So
is that what keeps it fresh for you, even on the show, is just like, you know, kind of knowing what you're going to talk about, the things that are going to be the news tomorrow, but then also the surprise of your guests and just going with it?
Yeah, that's the one thing I learned from Steve Allen, because he was the guy that invented The Tonight Show. He invented ad-lib television.
He did.
And this was years later, and I wondered how much of it was really ad-libbing, and I learned it was 110%. And if you tried to discuss anything before the show, he'd stop you. He didn't want to hear about it. And if somebody came in, tried to say, well, you know, we might do, don't tell me. And he always taught me that. Just go in there, ad lib, and hope something terrible happens. Hope things go wrong. It'll just give you more to ad lib about.
That's what makes a good show. Live radio. I know you love it. And you are handsome, and you do need to be on TV more, but you do get to fill in a lot. So what do you think about romance during the quarantine in New York? By the way, it's really bad down here. We're not going anyway, but your hair looks good. Cheers.
Oh, here we go again. The coaster stuck to it.
Mm-hmm.
The Frank Sinatra coaster.
Oh my gosh. is that a real one?
Actually, it is, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
One of his Las Vegas coasters.
Yeah, another person. I knew you interviewed him. I never met him, but I saw him in concert, and I was at a roast for him near the very end. It was very sad. And when Tom Dreesen, who I also know, Tom, I knew all those people because of the comedian that I was with, you know, kind of went up and helped him off stage. But the most amazing man. Like, I'm such a Sinatra fan and I love that music. As a matter of fact, Don Most from Happy Days is a crooner and he does the same kind of Sinatra music. So I love that. But what was it like working with or interviewing Sinatra? Or I'm sure you got to know him as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, just being around him, he was the most confident guy in the world. He was the most generous guy in the world. He paid so many people's tuitions, medical bills, rents, paid off mortgages. Hundreds. No one will ever know how many hundreds or thousands of people he did that for. There was a little old man who was a doorman at a restaurant we always went to. This little old guy, he must have been 100 years. This little guy knew every major figure in New York, all the biggest businessmen, everybody. And one day we're walking in, and everybody said, "How you doing?" He said, "Well, I have to go to the hospital. I have to get an operation." And everybody goes, "Well, good luck." And they 1,000 walked by Sinatra. And he said, "Wait a minute. You're getting an operation. Write down the name of your doctor. I'm going to call him for you and to make sure he takes good care of you." And he took all the information. He called the doctor. He made sure everything was taken care of. He called the head of the hospital, made sure this guy was taken care of. He said, "Let me know when you're coming out. I'm going to have a car pick you up and bring you home."
I love this. I love that story.
Nobody else even thought to ask that.
I love that story because you don't think of him that. You think of him as like he was the suave guy, the bad boy, the, you know, the part.
He was. But
I love these stories. Will you be a regular on my show? Yeah. I want to know one thing that you'll tell us that no one knows, because I know you're an enigma, and like no one knows your romance life. Women are in love with you. They want to know, are you available? Will you date them? They want to give you their panties. Can you just tell me one little mark thing that no one else knows?
No, of course not. Then everybody will know it. You got thousands of viewers.
Producer's laughing.
Who's not laughing, your husband?
Come on, Gene, you're a director. What else can I ask this guy?
I'm dying to know. Where did that chair come from? It looks like, isn't that what Aunt B sat in on the porch?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I do want to ask you that. Right. You know, sir, I'm not kidding you, Mark. I mean, I've had, you know, had some, well, listen, I've interviewed so many people through the years myself from my Up All Night years. But, like, I was really shy and excited to interview you today. And I think it's because I have a crush on you. And my husband's sitting right over there, but that's okay. So, anyway, that's what keeps the romance fresh. What is your favorite music? Obviously, you're a Sinatra kind of fan.
Obviously, Frank Sinatra, but anybody in that genre. But I love contemporary music. I love a lot of music.
I like everything, too. But I do like, I put on my Michael Bublé when I'm in the mood. But,
this is the perfect show because you have the whole time. All I got to do is jump in once in a while. It's easier.
Well, now I'm going to have you back. I'm going to ask you more. I have to warm you up because you said, you know, a good guess. And now you just told like a story about Sinatra. All these like stories, you're giving me little pearls. And I'm just going to force you to come back on.
Anytime.
I really.
Every night at 9. I'm busy then. But
okay, every night at 9. I know. Well, do you have a date?
No, actually, I'm going to dinner with a bunch of people. So,
is there a few women in that group?
Usually Saturday nights I see Regis Philbin and his wife Joy, and there's a couple other couples I go out with on Saturday night.
Does anybody ever try to bring a single girl along with you?
No.
They know you better.
Well, there's after dinner, and then you can go out, and there's a million places to go.
It's hard to make out with a mask. Well, I thank you, Mark.
Well, thanks for having me.
One thing about you, I don't know if you wear Hanes underwear. I don't know if you wear hand rope, but I do know one thing. You have great hair and you use Ralph Lauren crystal. So hair, cheers. Everybody listen to Mark Simone on WOR on iHeartRadio 10 to 12. Thank you for being my guest. I love you. You're awesome. I tell you what, Mark did make me a little shy. He is just a great broadcaster. And when you're on that many years, from 77 till now, nobody can throw anything at him that's going to throw him off. But I tried. Maybe he will come back on. But it is a privilege to be on his show. He has me on about every 2 to 3 weeks. And I feel like that's a true honor. So I just want to thank all my guests tonight, first of all, Don Most, originally from Happy Days. We all know him as Ralph Mouth. Get his album, Mostly Swinging. It's very Sinatra-esque. Sinatra seemed to be a running theme to the show tonight. Tanea Rebel Brooks, we love her. Hopefully she'll model for me again. Watch her as an upcoming wrestling star. I know I have a lot of wrestling fans out there. And Mark Simone, I do have a big crush on you. I do. I don't care who you hang out with in New York. WOR, the voice of New York. You can listen to him every day on iHeartRadio, WOR, from 10 to 12 p.m. I will be back next week at 9 p.m. We've got a B show coming up. I just saw a producer, director of mine come up on online, Kak Young. saying that Mark and I are great together. CAC, I'm going to ask you right now, will you come on next week? You directed me and I was a nightmare. I'm so sorry, but I'll reach out to you. Love you, CAC. Love all of you. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And one more time, cheers. And wait, here we go. Good night, everybody. Drink up.
Quarantine, don't know what to do. Hold on, baby, Rhonda, she's got you. Grab your computer, log on, baby, you got the power. It's the social distancing social life. The social distancing social life.